Well, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for being here tonight at our services at Shalom Shalom Messianic Congregation here in Dallas, Texas. We meet every Shabbat, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight we're going to continue and complete our 52nd Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation. We left off when we were just got into Jerusalem and began our gospel witnessing ministry there among the Jewish people and the Arab people. If you want to learn more about our ministry, the fact that we are committed to teaching the Jewish roots of the Christian faith and Jewish evangelism in accordance with Romans 1:16, divine order of evangelism given under the mandate of the Great Commission. You can check out our ministry newsletter. Berit Chadasha Ministries is a ministry I lead, as well as lead this small Messianic congregation. And our magazine is called Search of Scriptures. It is a quarterly newsletter, and you can get caught up on our the most recent outreaches that we've conducted in Israel. Plus, there's good, sound biblical teaching in these newsletters as well. And if you're interested in getting that newsletter, go to our website at searchthescripturesonline.org and sign up free under the newsletter menu. Also, folks, we appreciate your prayers, and we also appreciate your financial support. Without your support, we could not continue to go to Israel like we've been doing for almost 22 years now. And we have successfully conducted 52 outreaches, with some being saved and others having having the gospel seed planted in their lives and the Word of God given to them, both in the Old and the New Testament, in Hebrew, given to them. And it doesn't matter if they remember us. What matters is they have the Word of God concerning the good news of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. So with that said, are we ready to go here? I'm going to forego once again all the preliminary advertisements that I give to you, and we're going to get right into this tonight, part two of the 52nd Gospel Outreach to Israel. I also want to say that we will not be here next week. Every year the church closes down the building the Friday after Thanksgiving, so we will not be having services next Friday evening. I'll post that on Facebook as we get close to that date. So we will not be here next week due to the Thanksgiving holiday. All right, well, we left off in our outreach the second day in Jerusalem, and this kind of says it all, folks. This is a picture. Now, the arm of the mannequin obfuscates the word, but it says, "Welcome home." And people here like to welcome me home. I know they mean well, and then I have to facetiously correct him and say, well, I was at home. I was in Israel. That's my true home. And really, that's the true home of every born-again believer in the coming kingdom, where we will spend, the church will reign with Jesus from Jerusalem over all the earth. We will be kings and priests to our Most High God, ruling and reigning with Jesus the Messiah when He returns. And Jerusalem is the city of the great King, Matthew 5:35. And it will be the place where the Torah of Mashiach, the law of Messiah, will go forth, Isaiah 2:1-4. So, let's get into it. Our second day in Jerusalem was another fruitful day of ministry for Dr. August Rosato and myself in the city of the great King, Matthew 5:35. August and I returned to the Malka Mall in Jerusalem for more gospel witness and Bible distribution among the Israeli public. The moment we entered into the mall, the Lord had us step into a children's shoe shop and talk with the sales rep there. Her name was Miriam, pictured here with August. We could see that she was an observant follower of Judaism, but that did not deter us. We shared with Miriam the good news of Messiah foretold in the Tanakh. The Tanakh is what the Jewish people call their Bible. Christians call it the Old Testament. But we shared with her the good news of the Messiah foretold in the Tanakh and the fact that this Messiah has come and is revealed to be Yeshua of Nazareth. August and I disclosed the fact Yeshua was long foretold by Moses and the prophets, and the biblical evidence points to this clear truth. We also reminded Miriam that she had the same name as the mother of Yeshua. And she acknowledged, Miriam acknowledged she knew this. Praise God, she was open enough to receive a complete Hebrew Bible. You see it there. She's looking through it. And not only that, but Messianic gospel tracts that came with the Bible. Lord, we pray that you will open her eyes to see the marvelous Messiah in both testaments of the Jewish Bible and believe on him for salvation. Some 15 minutes later, August and I met Samuel and at a phone accessory kiosk. We told him that his name was the same as the great prophet Samuel in the Old Testament. He knew this, obviously. August and I told him we were Bible teachers who taught both testaments of this, and that the both testaments centrally emphasize the truth of the Messiah as a predominant person of Scripture. Samuel's interest was raised over this often overlooked truth in secular Israel. When August and I gave Samuel the opportunity to see this for himself, he was very open to receive a Bible from us in Hebrew to discover that what we told him was indeed true. Later on that night, August went down to the spa at our hotel and he ran into Samuel there. And he further watered our witness to him. Samuel's a Muslim. He's a Muslim. And August had some very compelling ministry with him in the spa there. And August and I, our strategy when we witness to Muslims is we get them to admit what they believe, that Jesus is a prophet, right? And this is what August told Samuel. And he said, okay, Samuel, if Jesus is a prophet, that means he always told God's truth, right? Yeah, that's right. He said, well, what do you do with the fact that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and divine? If he was telling the truth, then he was more than a prophet. Not just a prophet, but more than a prophet. But if he was not the Son of God when he claimed to be, as you guys believe, then he couldn't be a prophet of God because he's speaking an untruth about him being the Son of God when he's not. Samuel was tongue-twisted. He didn't know what to say. But it was a great opportunity to witness, minister to him in the mall. And then August later, providentially ran into him that same night at the spa at our hotel. What are the chances of that? All right, folks. We had another successful witness for Yeshua the Messiah with a young Jewish lady by the name of Mai, spelled M-A-Y, but not pronounced May, it's pronounced Mai, telling her that we taught both the Tanakh and Berit HaDashah in Israel opened a wide door in discussion of what Yeshua did as the saving Messiah in Israel. Our focus with Mai concentrated on the fact that the prophets meticulously foretold what this Messiah would do to save the world when he came to Israel. The first time, we emphasize the fact Yeshua died in Jerusalem and rose again from the dead to save us from our sins, the power of death, and to give eternal life to all those who believe in him. All of this, we told her, was prophesied in the Tanakh. See Psalm 22:17, John 19:17, Psalm 16:10, Luke 28:5-6. Mai was amazed. Look at that. She's reading the Messianic Gospel tract we gave her. She was amazed to learn this about the Messiah of the Bible and the fact it is none other than Jesus of Nazareth. August and I then predictably offered Mai a complete Hebrew Bible with Messianic reading materials. She was so touched by this offer, she could not believe it. Once we convinced her, Mai took the copy of the scriptures about Yeshua and embraced it, putting it to her heart, and said, Todah Rabah, which in Hebrew means thank you very much. No doubt she was expressing her love for what we spoke and gave her that day. So praise the Lord. More of the people of Israel getting acquainted with the gospel. Our third day of ministry, and there's Mai again with August and myself. You can see she's beaming. She was excited to hear HaBesser HaShel, Yeshua HaMashiach, the gospel according to Jesus Christ. Okay, and like we always do when we finish up evangelizing, if we finish early enough, we do biblical teachings on YouTube. Go to August Rosado's website, his YouTube page, type in August and Rosado and Todd Baker, and you'll find all of our teachings on there. We had been wanting to do a teaching by this statue called Jacob's Ladder, which is located, I believe, in Gair Mordechai. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Gair Mordechai is a middle-class section in Jerusalem, and we had always wanted to do a teaching about Jacob's Ladder and, of course, how it's a type and shadow of the Messiah, who is the connection between heaven to earth and earth to heaven, right? And so we finally did a teaching there in front of Jacob's Ladder, a very interesting work of art here, a statue. So we did a teaching there. It's now available on YouTube. Check it out. All right, moving on. And I took that picture. That's looking directly up it. You can't climb that, by the way. They intentionally did it to where you couldn't climb up it, and for obvious reasons. Here's August and I after we finished teaching on Jacob's Ladder in Genesis, correlating it to the messianic truth about Jesus in John chapter 1. Then we made a visit to Oscar Schindler's grave and we did a teaching there about the evil of anti-Semitism and what the Word of God says concerning God's judgment on it in the past, present, and in the future. And this is Oscar Schindler's grave, and of course, Jewish people in Israel or wherever in the cemetery, they will put a rock on their loved one or friend's graves as a show of respect and honor. And look at Oscar Schindler's grave there. It's overrun with rocks. There it is right there. If you've seen Schindler's List at the end of the movie, all of Schindler's Jews who survived the Holocaust, each one come and put a rock on his grave. By the way, this is a Catholic cemetery, because Oscar Schindler was a Catholic, and it's across the street from Zion Gate, and adjacent to Zion Gate is the upper room, King David's tomb, the Church of Gallicantu, where it's over the ruins of Caiaphas's palace, where Jesus was taken the night of his betrayal and was put on religious trial. So a lot of history, modern and biblical, around this area. And we did a teaching also on YouTube about Oscar Schindler's grave and the folly of anti-Semitism. That's also on YouTube. All right. Okay, so our third day of ministry in Jerusalem was spectacular as August and I visited Ben Yehuda Street, the most popular street in modern Jerusalem. On our way there, August Rosado and I noticed a disheveled street person sitting on his mat in the street. I felt led to approach him and give him some shekels to help him. He told me his name was Yaakov, or Jacob. But I then pulled out a complete Hebrew Bible with Messianic Gospel texts and told him Yeshua loves him and wants to reveal himself to Yaakov in the Word of God. I gave to Yaakov God's word, and I asked him if he would like it, and he smiled and said, "Yes, yes, thank you." So, Lord Jesus, give this man hope and eternal life in your name. We do this sometimes when we see a street person. We will go up to them and minister to them, give them, you know, alms, and then most importantly, give them the Word of God and a testimony about Yeshua's saving love for them. So you see that here. All right. Once we arrived on Ben Yehuda Street, August and I stepped into a sunglasses shop. There we met Sarah, pictured between us. Once we heard that name, which was the same name for Abraham's wife, we remarked to Sarah that her name reminds us of the Sarah of the Bible, whom God miraculously gave her and Abraham, Isaac, their son, in old age, Genesis 21, 1 through 6. The Lord then allowed us to then further share with Sarah that God promised He would bless the whole world through the seed or descendants of Abraham. Collectively, this was fulfilled in the Jewish people who gave to the world the Bible and salvation in the Messiah, Genesis 22:18. But in the singular sense, the seed or descendant of Abraham is the Messiah, Yeshua, who was the descendant and seed of Abraham, Matthew 1:1. Jesus came from Abraham, came from Abraham's descendants to bless the world with salvation. Galatians 3:16, Paul says, and God said not to Abraham's seeds, but to his seed, which is Christ. Adding this messianic truth, we also pointed out that Abraham's willingness to offer up his only son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah in obedience to God was a messianic foreshadowing of what happened 2,000 years later on the same mountain range when God gave up his only son, Yeshua the Messiah, to die for our salvation. The rabbis called Abraham's offering up of Isaac the Akedah. Once Sarah heard this, she said she got chill bumps on her arm. She showed her arm. She said she was getting chill bumps. Folks, we know what's at work there. The Holy Spirit was moving here. With that, we invited this precious and open Jewish lady to receive the complete Bible in Hebrew, to learn this and much more about the marvelous Messiah, the greatest descendant of Abraham and Sarah. She was happy. She was happy to hear and take the Word of God from us upon learning the saving sacrifice of God's only Son for our salvation was foreshadowed in the Akedah. Later on, we walked into a souvenir shop and greeted Ashraf. He was a Palestinian gift shop owner on Ben Yehuda Street. How strange is that? Amazingly, his shop was filled with Judaica and pro-Israel items. He told us that he liked living in Israel and gets along with the Jewish people. So the media will not cover this because it doesn't fit their narrative of Israel being the big bad bully of the Palestinians. Well, when he told us this, such a fact allowed us to then share with Ashraf that the Jewish people gave us Yeshua to save both Jews and Palestinians alike. Ashraf totally agreed with us. He more than welcomed our gospel witness and accepted not only a copy of the Hebrew Bible, but an Arabic gospel tract chronicling the life of Jesus the Messiah. Praise God, everybody is welcome to the table of salvation. And this ministry will value the souls of Israel, of Israelis and Palestinians equally alike, for Jesus loves both equally and died for them all. Amen. So anybody who accuses us, stupidly accuses us of just focusing on the Jews and doing to the Jew first at the exclusion of non-Jews, this again refutes their baseless allegation. I've had people accuse me of that. And they've accused August Rosado of that too. And they know not what they speak of. Well, the next day, I think, was our final day in Jerusalem. Before we get to the next day, that conical or volcanic looking thing in the background, that's called Herodium. That is one of the fortress cities that Herod built near Bethlehem. And they found the tomb of Herod the Great in 2008, just where Josephus, the ancient historian, said it was located. Now, August and I did witness and ministry in the gift shop at that location. It is considered a national park. And we did a teaching in front of the tomb of Herod the Great. We did that in December of 2019. So check that out. Also, this is the location where Herod likely gave his decree to slaughter the innocents of Bethlehem. The Magi from these came to this fortress city. And this is where, or perhaps Jerusalem, because he also had a palace in Jerusalem. I think it was in Jerusalem, but perhaps he might have given that decree at his fortress city here in Herodium, which is not too far from Bethlehem. So we did a teaching there, and where we were at, we were in Tekoa. We were in the small Jewish city of Tekoa. Does anybody know what Tekoa is? That is the birthplace of Amos the prophet. So we did a teaching on Amos the prophet there, his messianic prediction of how the earth would grow supernaturally dark on Calvary. That's in Amos chapter 8. Amos prophesied almost 800 years before that the sun would go down at noon during a time of God's judgment, and the people would wail as if they lost an only son. And that, of course, was fulfilled when God's one and only son was dying on Calvary, and the sun and the sky was turned dark at noon. We also talked about the prophecies of Amos 9, about God regathering the Jewish people and then returning himself. And if you go to Acts 15, James, the elder at Jerusalem, quotes Amos 9, 14 and 15 and says that prophecy will be fulfilled after the church age is finished, when God has taken out a people for his name from among the Gentiles. Really a good teaching. You need to check it out on YouTube. But there we were in Tekoa, the birthplace of Amos the prophet. Look, you go on tours, they won't take you to these locations. You know, so we, August and I do our research, and we're hoping to also next time maybe go to Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans worshipped and where Jesus talks about that in John 4, the Samaritan woman, and so forth. So that was really great. All right, moving on. There we are in Tekoa. And we learned something new. There is another town by a similar name. It's an Arab village, but we were under the impression that Tekoa was just an Arab village. No, there is a thriving Jewish community there as well, in Tekoa. All right. Well, we had another fine day of gospel ministry in Jerusalem. Before leaving the hotel, August and I decided to stop and talk with Shigar, an Ethiopian security guard. We immediately zeroed in on him and shared the gospel with him based on the fact Jews returning to Israel from Ethiopia, like Shigar, like him, is a latter-day fulfillment of Isaiah 11:11 and 12, where God will bring back the dispersed Jews to Israel from Ethiopia. We told Shigar that his return to the land from the south is a personal fulfillment of this prophecy. August and I then told him that we teach and distribute the Hebrew Bible of both Testaments as one single volume, revealing Yeshua to be the Messiah. Shigar jumped at the chance to accept, as you see there in his arm, accept a Bible from us. He was happy, grinning from ear to ear, overhearing the good news of Yeshua the Messiah. And he, to that end, took a copy of God's word about him from us. Amen. Good ministry there. This was an interesting, this was definitely a battle of this man's soul between the enemy and Hashem. After we left our hotel, we visited Hadera Mall and met Isaac. We told him we teach messianic prophecies from both testaments of the Bible, saying that the fulfillment of these prophecies by Yeshua prove he is the one and only Messiah of Israel. As an example, we mentioned to Isaac that at the return of the Messiah, his feet will touch in that day on the Mount of Olives, splitting into two, according to Zechariah 14:14. And we also mentioned to him that in the late 60s, I think 1969, Israeli geologists discovered that the Great African Valley Rift that starts in the Sub-Sahara goes right up through the Mount of Olives, right in the middle of it. They discovered that in 1969. Once again, science confirming God's prophetic word. And then we told him in Zechariah 12:10, we told him that that prophecy went on to say the same Messiah will be recognized by his wounds of piercing in his hands and feet. Isaac gasped in amazement. He literally He gasped in amazement, knowing this pointed to the crucified Jesus. But Isaac was resistant initially to accepting the New Testament because the rabbis teach it is not for the Jewish people, which is a bald-faced lie, particularly when God says that He made a Berit Hadashah, or a new covenant with the Jewish people, Jeremiah 31:31. Augustine and I countered by saying the New Testament was written largely in the land of Israel by all Jews, and that it is talking about the same Messiah prophesied in the Tanakh. Isaac seemed to resign himself to this fact and accepted a complete Hebrew Bible from us. And we told him we'll come back later and get some coffee. And August wanted to get something to eat there. So we did come back, and I'll share that in a minute. But let's go to the next one. And this lady, I forgot her name, and I forgot to enter it in here. I don't know why I did, but we walked in there and she recognized us. She recognized us from another location where we were at, where we gave a Bible to Mai. Remember Mai earlier at Saban Shop? Well, this was a Saban Shop, and this young Israeli recognized us. And so we shared with her. She said, yeah, Mai told me about you giving her the Bible. And we said, well, we want to have the honor of giving you the Bible so you can know the good news about the fact the Jewish Messiah has come. And he is not. All these other pretenders. They have a new Messiah now. I forgot his name. They have a new one now. He's a master at the piano. I forgot his name. And now they're proclaiming him the Messiah. You know, and we say this to the Israelis from time to time. We tell them, you know, it's one of the ironic twists in your history that the rabbis and the religious community have accepted somewhere around 43 false messiahs. And we're counting Menachem Schneerson in that one. He died, the rabbi from the Ukraine who died in 1992. And now they've got this new guy. I forgot his name. It's a three hyphenated name. One of those names is Yehuda in that three hyphenated name for this so-called new Messiah. And we then say, you know, you've accepted 43 messiahs and they weren't messiahs. And the one true Messiah who has come, you categorically reject. And again, we remind them this is no accident. This was foretold by the prophets that your people would reject the Messiah, Isaiah 53. So she was really happy to accept what we offered to her, and we wrote a little note of encouragement there in the Bible itself on the inset. Okay, so going back to Isaac, we came back later. What's her name? Noah, that's it. Thank you, Noah. Yeah, that was Noah. I don't know why I didn't include this in my... I just completely spaced out, didn't include it in my journal. Okay, well, let's get back. So after we spoke to Noah, we went back to Isaac. And go back to Isaac, please. And we left after witnessing to Noah and came later to Isaac, only to find out he was vacillating and wanted to give us back the scriptures. Now, we could have just said, okay, and be, you know, little wusses about it. But we didn't. We didn't. We insisted he keep it and examine the evidence for himself that Jesus is the Messiah. We told him it was a matter of life and death. And that August said, you know, it would break my heart if you did that. This is something that you gave to the world and we're simply giving back to you. There's nothing inherently wrong with wanting to know the good news about the Messiah. Isaac was fighting against the false rabbinic narrative, rejecting the messiahship of Yeshua. And you could see the warfare and the struggle going on in his heart, in his face. But praise God, the Holy Spirit prevailed over Isaac, and he decided to keep the Bible we gave to him. So, all right. And we had to go to the Garden Tomb, one of the two purported locations for the resurrection, And also, this is the area where Jesus was crucified, thought to be Golgotha. I had a prominent messianic leader when I posted this, and I said, this is the site where allegedly Jesus was crucified. And this prominent messianic leader, in his disdainful arrogance, said, nope. That's all he said. You know, never mind we're over here year after year bringing the gospel to the Jewish people. You should be commending us for that. You should be complimenting us for that. No, he gives some, you know, smart aleck reply. So I blocked him and removed him. I'm not going to put up with that. And you know, the irony is, folks, we get more disdainful comments from flaky, nutty Christians over there on Facebook than we do here. And August and I had to, we ended up blocking and deleting four of these people. They were criticizing how we were doing baptisms in the Jordan and all this stuff. So it's when the enemy attacks you, it's not usually not from an outsider or from someone you don't know. It's usually people within your own sphere, like the church or your family. Yeah, exactly. It's always something. So this is the, and there's the, if you see the face right there, the nose was blown off. It got struck by lightning some time ago. But you see the brow, see the half the nose, see that facial likeness. And so some believe that this was the actual location where Jesus was crucified. And it's adjacent to the garden tomb. All right, go ahead, Greg. All right, this is the Zola Levitt group. This is Dave and Kirsten Hart. And Kirsten was such a trooper. We weren't around them a lot, obviously, because we're out on our own. But she was helping this lady in the wheelchair, and Kirsten herself had a bad foot. So she was doing all this, and they're great hosts. We had some good fellowship with the Harts, and God bless them. Pray for them. Anyway, this is the group. I took a picture of the group. Reason why we were there is we did communion for them. We celebrated the Lord's Supper there. And this was the Zola tour. By and large, good group of people. This is a picture of Golgotha again. Okay. And this is the Garden Tomb, Zola's group, tour group. They're going in the Garden Tomb. That's Dave Hart. More pictures of the Garden Tomb. Okay, bud. All right, well, this was probably the highlight of the trip. These two gentlemen that August Rosado and myself are with. In the evening of that day, August and I met two gentlemen who both had the name of Moshe, Moses in English. August was interviewing them for future Bible tours to Israel. His ministry today in Bible prophecy, he leads two Bible tours to Israel a year. And he was interviewing a potential replacement for the one that he was going to replace. They own their own travel agency together, and we had a very thorough witness with both of these men about Yeshua and God's prophetic plan for Israel. They were so open about it. And, I mean, not only open about it, but just openly saying how much they appreciate Bible-believing Christians and how they are compelled to accept Yeshua for what He says He is, and not only that, to accept a testimony about that fact in the Berit HaDashah, the New Testament. And we were wondering, well, why are these guys so eager and open about this? And this Moish right here, August was taught. We were all together talking, and I started talking with this Moish right here, and he says, well, you know, the forbidden chapter in Israel is they don't want to deal with that. I'm like, my eyes are like saucers. You know what he means by the forbidden chapter? Isaiah 53. And Moshe admitted it's pointing to Yeshua. And he says, I'm really close to becoming a believer. And the reason why is because both of these men are friends with Daniel Carmel. How many know who Daniel Carmel is? Daniel Carmel, I think he's been interviewed on Zola Levitt Presents, now Our Jewish Roots. Daniel Carmel is a prominent Messianic believer that has a boat ministry. He owns a boat business taking Christians out on the Sea of Galilee all day long. And Daniel is not shy about his witness for Yeshua. So Moshe tells us that when I first heard about Daniel becoming a believer, he didn't say Christian, they say believer, I said, I got to talk to him because they grew up together. And so he called Daniel and he says, I heard you've changed. What's going on? You know what Daniel said without skipping a beat? He says, I've become more Jewish than you now. And he tells them, he told them how receiving Yeshua makes that a fact. And both Moishes were hungry for the word of Yeshua and eagerly received what we shared about him, resulting in their accepting complete Hebrew Bibles from us. This other Moish right here, he is a retired comedian in Israel. Very famous in Israel. Very famous. He showed us some shows that he was on over the years on YouTube. And he was just, he said, you know, there's got to be more than just being a comedian, being on TV, being famous. And I was done with it. I was done with it. There's got to be something more. And of course, you know what we did. We told him about Yeshua. And he was like, as we were talking, he was shaking his head in the affirmative. And then I looked at August and I said, these guys need a Bible. You know, we were talking to him for almost 3 hours in the lounge in the hotel there. And I said, August, we might need to give them a metanah. And August was like, yeah, you guys want a metanah. Metanah is Hebrew for gift. So I went upstairs and then I went to the car. And look at him. They both embraced the scriptures. And we hope to have a further, we're going to meet them hopefully in Haifa when we go in June because they live in Haifa. Meet them for dinner and continue our witness for Yeshua with both of them. But pray for these both of these guys. Moisha here wrote a poem as part of their theme for their tour company. It was a poem about Jesus. And it sounded like a believer wrote it. He showed it to me and I read it and I was just shaking my head in amazement. So these men are not far from the kingdom of God. Pray for them and we will make it a point to visit them in the future and see them. August is going to make a decision about their travel agency, but they're working together right now. I hope it works out because these guys were so open to gospel ministry. They accepted complete Hebrew Bibles from us and Messianic gospel tracts with profuse thanksgiving for what we shared and gave to them concerning the gospel and word of God about Yeshua the Messiah. Well, on to Eilat now. Finally, we return to Eilat after a 6.5 year hiatus, which was too long. And as you go to Eilat, you go through the Dead Sea area and hence the lowest point on earth. And there is the Dead Sea. Now in the kingdom, as Ezekiel prophesies, when the Messiah returns, there will be the Gihon Spring, which is currently underneath the Temple Mount. I've seen it. I looked down into a cavern and saw it flowing. That same spring will issue in to the Dead Sea from the threshold of the Millennial Temple, and it will desalinate the Dead Sea. It will become a living river body of water. Okay, so that's the Dead Sea. Keep going. And this is one of the caves where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. We did a teaching there on the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's on YouTube. Go ahead, brother. And, okay, so as August and I headed for the resort city of Eilat in extreme southern Israel to finish up the 52nd Gospel Outreach, on our way down, we decided to stop at Qumran, the location where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in a series of caves. At the gift shop, we had the chance to share the gospel and give a Bible to Nadal, an Arab man from Bethlehem. He was extremely open and receptive to our sharing God's word with him. So that was a good time of ministry there. And that is Masada. You are looking at another fortress of Herod the Great. It was abandoned, and as you know, the Romans were trying to smoke out Eleazar ben Yair and his army of about 900. The Romans finally negotiated the sheer cliff of Masada. And when they went in there, they found that Eleazar ben Yair and his people committed suicide rather than become slaves of Rome. Okay, go ahead. This is some of the barges, natural salt barges on the Dead Sea. It's the first time I've seen them like that. So go ahead, brother. And this is the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. They actually have a Saddam resort there. And we know why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was not just because they were inhospitable, but they were involved in every type of sexual immorality, homosexuality, incest, at all. So if you want to know what God thinks about those sexual sins, I reference you to Genesis 19. And he hasn't changed, by the way. Okay, go ahead, brother. These bleak hills and mountains of the Negev desert and the wilderness of Zin. Okay? All right, so the moment we arrived in Eilat, August and I traveled to the Ice Mall, where I should have took a outside picture of this mall, but I didn't. But anyway, on previous outreaches, we've had successful ministry there. The mall's two-story configuration is shaped like a giant igloo on the outside and is circular on the inside. We walked up to a fragrance kiosk and met a young Jewish man by the name of Shai, right here. Our discussion centered on the fact God gave the land to the Jewish people under the eternal covenant God made with Avram. See Genesis 13. 14 and 17, and 17, 7 and 8. Shai agreed by saying, God has given us the land. Further elaborating on this, we moved our witness with Shai to the truth about the central link which connects both testaments of the Bible together, which is Yeshua the Messiah, and we told him we bring his good news of salvation to the Jewish people. He loves with an everlasting love, according to Jeremiah 31, 3. We said to Shai that we are here to give God's word back to the chosen people whom he inspired by the Holy Spirit to write and give to the world the Bible. We offered Shai a complete Hebrew Bible, and he amicably accepted it. And as we gave it to him, we said, this is a token and true expression of our love for Am Israel, for giving us the Messiah Jesus. Knowledge of the one true God and the Holy Bible, which we can know the things that pertain to salvation and eternal life. Shai was overwhelmed with gratitude and accepted the gift of the Jewish scriptures from us. August and I told him we would revisit him in our next trip to Israel and talk over what he read in the Hebrew Bible we gave him. And that looks forward now to March 2023 and the 53rd Gospel Outreach. I'll be honest with you folks, I'm already pining away for it because living in this country, it can be such a downer. And as I was driving over here, I was just thinking, March can't come soon enough. Just saying. Okay, brother. Later on, we met Effie, a Ukrainian Jew who immigrated to Israel and now owns his own business in the Ice Mall in Eilat, Israel. Of course, we told this young man that his return to live in Israel is a fulfillment of God's regathering the dispersed of Israel back into the land of promise at the end of days, according to Jeremiah 3:18. From this, we encouraged and convinced F.A. to take a complete Hebrew Bible from August and I with Messianic Gospel tracts to see an even greater event prophesied and fulfilled in the coming of Yeshua the Messiah. We assured F.A. that our prayer is that he sees this from the Scripture by the enlightenment of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So, praise God for that. Well, the next day, we only had two full days in Eilat, but praise God, it was in Eilat on November 4th that we triumphantly completed the 52nd outreach to Israel with perfection, in that we had no rejections from the people of Israel. On this outreach, we passed out 36 complete Hebrew Bibles with Messianic Gospel tracts from the extreme north in Israel to the extreme south of Israel and all in between. One particular encounter occurred with a young Israeli Jewish man at our hotel in Eilat, You see him there between August and I. His name was Adam. Commenting on his name, August and I said, obviously, Adam was the first man God created. But the Bible speaks about, quote, the last Adam, quote, 1 Corinthians 15:45. Who is the Messiah whom God has revealed to be Yeshua the Messiah in both testaments of the Hebrew Bible. Adam appeared very interested and open to our gospel witness about this Messiah. Adam listened as we also went into compelling detail of how God's prophetic plan for the Jewish people revealed in Scripture is directly tied to the two comings of Jesus the Messiah. We urged Adam at this point to receive a free copy of the Hebrew Bible from us to read and see this enlightening truth so that he may come to know Messiah in a saving way. Adam shook his head in positive amazement, saying to us, "Wow, thank you for this book. Now, Adonai, may your spirit open the eyes of Adam to see Yeshua, the last Adam, the one who gives eternal life to those who believe in him." Amen. After that, we walked through the Eilat Bazaar, where we met Devar, pictured here, a shop owner. August and I had a great gospel witness with him. He was very open to the fact it is the Messiah that is the central figure and person of both testaments of the Hebrew Bible. So we shared with Devar, God's word declares this Messiah to be none other than Yeshua of Nazareth. We exhorted Devar to accept the scriptures from us with a messianic prophecy pamphlet listing the major prophecies Yeshua fulfilled. Devar had no problem taking this from us to the glory of God. Amen. Well, now we were down to one last Bible, and sometimes on these outreaches, giving out the last Bible to victoriously complete an outreach can be the most arduous, laborious, and difficult. The enemy doesn't make it easy. And August and I had one more Bible to give out, and the last one sometimes is the most difficult one to give out. We walked the length of a mall near our hotel and several times. Finally, noticing, that's the Red Sea, by the way. Yep, an oil ship. And this is the mall we went to on our last day of ministry. And so finally, we walked the mall several times until finally we noticed a leather belt and jewelry shop. Both of us felt good about talking to the owner, Niv, N-I-V. We told Niv we come frequently to Israel to return God's word about Yeshua the Messiah to his people. Niv's response was a joyous openness to hear and also accept a copy of God's word from us so he could see how the Messiah is found throughout the entire Bible. Niv saw my Star of David and Cross necklace and agreed that Christianity is Jewish, and from that received our witness of God's written word from us concerning Yeshua the Messiah. And that, my friends, is the completion of the 52nd Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation. Okay, yeah, that's walking towards a location where we taught on about the mountains of Edom, which are east. There are the mountains of Edom. Edom meaning red. Notice the red texture there. We talked about Esau and the descendants from him, the Edomites, who have been perennial enemies of Israel. Okay, keep going. Okay, now we're going to switch, and this we always do a video of completion after each outreach, right there when we finish the outreach. So hopefully this will play, and you can watch me. So folks, you know, we do need your support. We cannot continue to do this without the support of the remnant of God's people. And as I said before, if you're interested in supporting... Amen. Okay, here's the tape.
And Lot, a resort city at the extreme southern tip of Israel. Dr. August Rosado and myself have just completed the 52nd Gospel Outreach. Perfection, what was accomplished on this outreach. What do I mean by that? We passed out 36 consecutive Bibles in here with Messianic Gospel Tracts without a rejection. That is a, in baseball terms, that is pitching a no-hitter. This is the fifth perfect outreach I have done where we had no rejections all the way through. This is fantastic. I just want to praise Lord Jesus for giving us a perfect outreach. And I'd like to thank Dr. August Rosado for his alacrity, his enthusiasm, his passion, joined mine, so that this could be possible for us. Israel is wide open to the gospel. The Israeli Jews are open, and the Arabs. And we have completed the 52nd Gospel Outreach. We started on October 25th in Netanya, and we finished it here in Elat on November 5th. We went 36-0. This was a perfect outreach in terms of no rejection. 36 consecutive people accepted a Bible. One just accepted a tract. 35 out of the 36 did receive a Bible, and that one didn't receive a tract. So perfection was reached by, brought by the perfect one, Adon Yeshua HaMashiach. So coming from Israel, we thank you. And we, God bless you, and Shabbat Shalom from Israel. We look forward to the 53rd Gospel Outreach that will be conducted in March of 2024.
All right, folks, that's it. And again, next week we will not be having any services here due to the holiday, so we will be with you 2 weeks from tonight. And we want to thank you again for praying for us and supporting these vital end-time gospel outreaches to Israel in obedience to Romans 1:16, following in the footsteps of Jesus and the apostles, and that is taking the gospel to the Jew first. Well, until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.